Now on to the press review, and Dipti, starting with what's been our main story today, those reactions to that coup attempt in Bolivia.
Yeah, that's right. It's making the front page of El País, the Spanish paper today, Stuart. Here it is, the military attempts to lead an assault on the government palace, El País says. We've been looking at the Bolivian press as well. This is from Jornada, which is a La Paz based daily newspaper that evokes the hours of uncertainty that followed after a group of soldiers paralyzed the country, the paper says. Panic ensued after President Luis Arce warned on social media that the military's that the military was leading unauthorized actions near the government, so people knew something was up. Groups of soldiers carrying weapons, ammunition and anti-riot gear then began gathering on that square where the government government headquarters are. According to this paper, the leader of the military, Zuniga, told reporters he wanted to free political prisoners. The president has since fired and arrested the leader of the military.
Another paper, though, Dipti, you found putting forward the theory that this could have been a staged coup d'etat by the president to boost his popularity.
That's right. It's according to El Día, another Bolivian paper, which says that this military leader, it reports on what it an alleged conversation between reporters and this military leader, where he accused President Luis Arce of telling him to move troops and tanks in an apparent what he called self-coup to boost the president's popularity, and that as early as last Saturday, the military began moving tanks and armored vehicles from a military depot in anticipation of this, once again, his words, self-coup. Zuniga, that military leader, now faces possible charges of terrorism and armed uprising against the state. Presidential elections are expected to be held in 2025. Luis Arce came to power back in 2020, Stuart.
Let's come back to France now. The focus, of course, continuing very much on those parliamentary elections this weekend. Round one, voting is on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting today because the papers are really looking at different, each paper or many papers are looking at different issues that could affect that this election could affect. Let's start with L'Humanité, the communist paper, which looks at how women are particularly concerned about the uncertainty of these parliamentary elections, women's rights, jobs, equal pay, abortion rights. All these issues could be up in the air depending on who wins the parliamentary elections on July the 7th. In its editorial today, L'Humanité lambasts the national rally leader, the far-right leader, Jordan Bardella, after his comments saying that he was really paying tribute to women after the party's victory in European elections. The paper reminds readers today that the party has never been and never will be feminist, and that, I quote, everywhere in the world where there is the presence of the far right, women's rights are inevitably eroded.
And Le Parisien, they're looking at a different issue that's been rather overlooked, a lot would say, the environment.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Le Parisien is talking about today. They call it the big forgotten issue of this of the campaign, of this parliamentary election campaign. How do we continue the electrification of vehicles? How do we continue developing green energies? The paper says that all the main candidates seem happy to skirt around this issue, not address it at all. And yet, Le Parisien says, the proverbial house is burning down. You need only to look at recent flooding in Mayotte, France's overseas territory, but also mainland France in recent times, to know that climate change and the environment should be a central electoral issue. There's also the topic of the economy, and this is something that's the focus of the British magazine The Economist today, wondering if the revival of Paris is in threat. Indeed, Paris has gone through what the magazine calls an astonishing economic revival in recent years. More and more businessmen and women, financiers, techies are flocking to the French capital. An annual investment summit at the Versailles Palace with Emmanuel Macron has become a must-attend event on the calendar, where billions of euros of investments are signed. All that is really up in the air right now.
Now to a new project in South Africa this week. It's aiming to fight back against rhino poachers by doing something rather incredible, injecting radioactive matter into their horns.
And they've begun, that project was unveiled this week, and they've said that they've begun a sort of trial. These group of researchers from South Africa will begin drilling low doses of radioisotopes into the horns of 20 sedated rhinos. They say that this is not harmful to the health of the rhinos, but that that their health will be monitored for the next 6 months. The horns would essentially be too dangerous for consumption. Of course, rhino horns are often illegally poached and then smuggled across the world, where they are considered really good for one's health, and often ground into a powder that is then consumed. So the goal would be to avoid that, but also to identify smuggling efforts before they leave the country. South African airports and harbors are already equipped with machines to detect radioactive matter and to warn of nuclear attacks. So this would simply be using that technology, but also to identify smugglers before they take the rhino horns out of the country, in a bid to help protect the endangered species.
And finally from Dipti, Glastonbury 2024 is upon us.
It is, and that's right. Britain's mother of all music festivals began yesterday. It's on the front page of The Guardian today. It opened yesterday to smile, sunshine, and unusually no rain boots, for the moment at least. Expect big acts like Dua Lipa, Coldplay, Burna Boy, and Shania Twain. Now, for the first time ever, a K-pop band is also making its debut. 17, confusingly, with just 13 members, will be performing on Friday on Glastonbury's main stage in what is a first for K-pop music.
Okay, makes a change. Where are the other four? That's why I don't know. Perhaps they got lost on the way there. Thanks, Dipti. You roll with the papers off for Arts24.